Hello, and welcome to the MicroISV Show here on Channel 9. I'm your host, Michael Lehman, and today on the MicroISV Show, I'm talking with Eric Sink, who coined the term MicroISV in 2004 when he was a columnist for MSDN. Our discussion ranges from why Eric wrote the articles, the evolution of the term MicroISV, how the longer a career a developer has, the higher the motivation to strike out on one's own, and how the choice of tools can dramatically affect a MicroISV's success. Finally, we talk about Eric's own experience as a MicroISV, and Eric gives his advice on what to do if you're thinking about becoming a MicroISV. So today I'm here with Eric Sink, and Eric, you're the person who coined the term MicroISV. Can you tell me a little bit about the genesis of that and what inspired you to write the articles that you did for MSDN?
Well, as you know, I was writing this monthly column for Chris Sells at MSDN. It used to appear in what was the Longhorn section of the site. And I like probably a lot of monthly columnists, I wasn't planning my articles 6 months in advance. Just every month I try and figure out what I wanted to write about. And that month I just felt like I had to write something about the shareware companies that I knew of, because I had learned of the successes of some of these shareware companies, these companies, you know, with one guy or one couple working by themselves, and it occurred to me that the rest of the world, the world that doesn't identify itself as shareware, doesn't realize how successful these guys are, and I wanted to tell somebody about it. So I wrote this article, and along the way I ended up coining this term MicroISV.
So from your point of view, when you were coining it, what was your definition of what is a MicroISV?
I was thinking of a MicroISV as a one-person company, or I guess more specifically as a one-household company, because I know a lot of MicroISVs end up being partnerships between a person and their significant other or something like that, which is fine. I know the term has since been expanded to be used for companies beyond one person, and I'm okay with that. I tend to still use the term rather strictly, but the fact that other people use it to describe a company of eight doesn't bother me at all. You know, a lot of the same dynamics are in play.
All right, and in terms of your point of view, what was so interesting about this particular company dynamic that inspired you to write about it?
I think what's interesting about the MicroISV, and maybe it's interesting, you know, more interesting to me as I age, because at age 38 or so here, I'm thinking of myself as one of the older software people around, which is really quite funny, I guess. But the fact is, I think as people age, they start to think more about the parts of their life that are not associated with their career. They think about their life balance. You know, they always say that nobody on their deathbed says they wish they'd spent more time at the office. And when I run around this industry, I see all kinds of people who, if you get them to be real, will say, you know, I wish I had more time to spend with my kids, or I wish I wasn't away from my house so much. And, on my bad days, sometimes I think those things. I mean, everybody I know with an aggressive career thinks those things. And then in the midst of that kind of a climate, I run across guys who are making six figures working out of their basement, setting their hours on, you know, completely by themselves, and they're not accountable to any boss or to any employees. It's very self-standing, and it's a very balanced lifestyle. And the fact that these guys can make such a nice living doing it was fascinating to me. So
I understand that after having written that article, you decided to give it a go yourself in addition to your day job.
Indeed. I decided to write this application I called Winnable Solitaire. And that was in a sense my way of actually experimenting with what I was writing about, and so I created a MicroISV, I guess I would say. In the end, I can't say that it was successful, and I learned some things about MicroISVs by having failed at it. But I had a good time writing the code and distributing the app.
Well, that sounds great. So, and obviously I'd love to talk about, you know, what worked and what didn't work for you. So you went in to become the MicroISV to kind of experience that particular thing. What kind of technology and things did you use to develop your product with?
I developed that product with good old fashioned C++, and I wrote it on Windows. Nothing fancy or cutting edge. In retrospect, I might have been better off writing it with one of the newer APIs. I'm still looking for a project to use Avalon on, and I haven't figured that out yet. Though you guys call that WPF now, right?
Right.
Right. But no, this app was all in C++, but it was for Windows.
All right. And so what did you like best about developing in that environment? And why specifically did you target Windows?
I targeted Windows because I knew that I was developing an application that was completely horizontal, completely consumer-oriented. This was an application that that normal people would use, an application that my mother might use, for example.
Okay.
And, you know, I knew there are 500 million Windows desktops in the world. I wanted the largest possible distribution, so I didn't really think too much about being cross-platform.
All right. And what did you like least about doing that development, and what could we have done better as Microsoft to make your life easier in that direction?
Interesting question. I hadn't really thought about how the platform did or did not succeed for me.
Or the tools.
Well, in retrospect, I would have been better off if I had used tools that made me more effective, more productive. And those tools were available from you guys, and I didn't choose to use them, and that probably wasn't terribly smart. I'm a C# programmer during the day, and I know how effective I can be with that tool set. And when it came time to do my micro ISV, I didn't use that tool set. I used a language that made me look for memory leaks as part of my ship cycle, and you know, that probably wasn't terribly smart, but that's not your fault.
I understand. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, the success and ultimate failure, as you mentioned, of your effort there. What was like your most difficult business challenge, and what would you do differently next time around?
I think when it comes right down to it, I failed with Winnable Solitaire as a business because I didn't want success badly enough. Going back to what I said fascinated me about micro ISVs, I think to some extent the desire for that kind of a work style, and it is a lifestyle choice about work, the desire for that is typically rooted in a great deal of dissatisfaction about some other work style. Either you're working for a pointy-haired boss in an environment that you don't like, or you're dissatisfied with your work environment in some other way. And so what drives you to want to be self-employed and have a micro ISV is to some extent your dissatisfaction with other things. And that is, in fact, what drives you to be persistent and make your micro ISV succeed even though you meet up with resistance or challenges. And in my case, I could empathize with this sense of dissatisfaction because, like I said, I'm getting old. I'm in my 30s now. And I can think about how life balance is becoming more and more important to me over time. But the fact is my dissatisfaction wasn't high enough to make me want to succeed with this. I still like my day job. I run a software company that is successful. I like what I do. I'm not saying I don't have good days and bad days, but my satisfaction level with my current job was too high for me to succeed and be persistent with my micro ISV. And ultimately, it did not succeed.
I understand. When you were selling it as a micro ISV, how did you handle payment processing?
I had the benefit of some infrastructure at my current company, and so I actually used the payment processing system of the company that I run now, which, as an example for others to follow, it was really not fair. Because most people don't have that benefit. I would have, in a vacuum, I would have gone with something else like PayPal or eCelerate or something like that. Something that most micro ISVs look at when they make that decision.
Right, I understand. All right. Well, with Winnable Solitaire, you said that it wasn't exactly the most roaring success in the world. What's the closing status of Winnable Solitaire as a micro ISV?
Winnable Solitaire has been sold, and I think even its ending may be a constructive lesson for other people working with a micro ISV, because if you create a micro ISV and you don't succeed, which I have to admit is actually quite likely, the next question becomes, how do I sunset this? How do I get this behind me and move on so that I can try my next micro ISV? And in my case, what I did was I sold the code to somebody who was more interested in it than I was. Turns out that it was a Microsoftie, although it was just an old friend of mine I used to work with. He runs freecell.com, and he was interested in the technology that I had. I took the opportunity to sell it to him and donated the proceeds to Katrina Relief, and considered myself lucky to have closure on the whole process. But it occurred to me as I was going through that process that it's something that other micro ISV vendors probably have to do at times as well, is basically sunset their product. And I think there does come a time when you need to get closure on one thing so that you can pursue another thing. And I was glad that I was able to do that.
All right. Well, I guess two questions for you then. Would you do it again?
Yes, I would. In fact... I have no plans of leaving my current position in the foreseeable future, but as I look down the road longer term, I hope I'm running a micro ISV again someday. I have ideas that I'd like to pursue.
Well, that sounds good. I thought your most recent blog post about me software and them software and so forth was quite interesting. You know, clearly you're still writing software for yourself. You're just not out there selling it at the moment.
That's true. And I do still think about the things that I would do if I were going to try and run a software business in my basement again, and it's still an attractive proposition.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. One of the things that I do here at Microsoft is to reach out to the so-called micro ISVs and trying to provide them guidance and code samples and so forth. And one of the ways that I'm thinking about expanding that is to provide some of that integrated inside Visual Studio and to provide additional information beyond the technical, reaching out to other people who are working in that micro ISV community to include some content about PR and marketing and sales and things to help the small developer be successful as a business. Do you think that that's something that, in your experience, the small developers would be interested in? And do you have any thoughts on that?
I do think that would be interesting. I think that when a developer ventures out to do a micro ISV, and invariably that developer is a programmer. I mean, no one starts a micro ISV with a background in marketing and having never used a compiler before. Micro ISVs are started by geeks, and so by definition, they don't probably have the training or experience on everything else required to make a company work. No one starting a micro ISV says, wow, I can't figure out which call to use for networking. In general, they're asking business questions, or the question you just asked me, how did I collect payment? It's probably the most common question I hear from people wanting to start a micro ISV is, how do I get paid? And if you guys as Microsoft can provide leadership and information and resources in that entire class of questions, I have to imagine that every micro ISV out there is going to appreciate that kind of benefit.
Awesome. Well, I always end these interviews with a question of, what would you like to share with your fellow developers, remembering that thousands of them are potentially listening to this interview, a piece of advice or a way of focusing or whatever. So stand on the soapbox and it's your turn.
Stand on the soapbox. I guess the number one thing I would say, and I say it quite often to developers, it is the last chapter of a book that I'm currently writing. It is simply just do it. Take a page from Nike. Take some inspiration from movies like Dead Poets Society, which talk about carpe diem. And just think hard about what's stopping you from pursuing whatever idea really captures your passion right now. Because what I continue to hear from so many developers is the idea that they had that they watched somebody else succeed with, and how frustrating that is. How frustrating it is to have a product idea or to have a dream about a business that they wanted to start, and they never made it happen, and somebody else did, and they watched. And I guess the advice that I like to give developers when I'm in sort of a broadcasting fashion like I am here is don't let that happen to you. If you've got an idea or a dream that you want to pursue in software, just do it.
All right, and that's it for today's Micro ISV show. Thanks very much to Eric Sink for coming on the show. And you can find more podcasts on Channel 9 at channel9.msdn.com/shows. I'm your host, Michael Lehman, and stay tuned next time for the second part of our interview with Bob Walsh, author of Micro ISV From Vision to Reality, as he talks about his experiences with his company, Safari Software. So until next time, I'll see you on Channel 9.